This week, we discuss the surprising finding that sport is more important to virtual MVPDs than to traditional pay TV providers, why this is good news and bad news for online TV, and how offering sports is the big divide in the virtual MVPD industry. Let's get started.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Video News End Screen Media Podcast. This is Will Richmond from Video News, and Colin Dixon is with me from End Screen Media. Hey there, Colin. How are you?
I'm doing very well, Will. Thank you. It's been a busy week for data, and I noticed there's been a lot of sports data floating around. I know the football season has started, and I guess a lot of people are focused on sports, but there certainly seems to have been a lot of sports data floating around, hasn't there?
Yeah, you and I were paying attention to a new survey out that was done by Altman Valandry, and Moffitt Nathanson participated, and we were looking over some of the highlights and thought we would just discuss some of that today.
Yeah, indeed. And the thing that really sort of sparked my interest, and there was seemed to be a lot of related information about it as well, but the thing that sparked my interest was this. There was a Altman Valandry data, which Moffitt Nathanson monkeyed with a little bit to come up with what they called the sports viewing by pay TV subscribership graphic, which you'll be able to, those of you listening will be able to click on a link in both Will and I's stories around this podcast to find it. And it was really interesting. And the surprising finding there, Will, was that more people subscribed to a virtual MVPD than traditional pay TV identify as being a sports fan. In fact, 66%, two-thirds of virtual MVPD subscribers said that, versus 59% of traditional pay TV. And this, I think, was very surprising. In fact, I think that the general belief is that sports remains a strong anchor for traditional pay television. But this really seems to fly in the face of that and say that people are using virtual MVPDs. Sports fans are turning to virtual MVPDs to save money, like I guess the rest of folks. They also showed that, I think this is not surprising at all, that cord cutters and cord nevers are not big sports fans. Only 29% of cord cutters and 19% of cord nevers say that they are regular sports viewers. But that was really pretty surprising, don't you think?
Yeah, it's it looks like it's sort of certainly on the cord never and cord cutter, I'd say no surprise. The benefit on the virtual MVPDs is that we know that many of them have been adding sports networks. We know that many of them have also been adding broadcast networks, which certainly carry sports, carry NFL. So they're becoming more viable. But still, it seems that sports fans are subscribing to either pay TV or virtual MVPDs at a much higher rate than are non-sports and actually non-news fans as well. So Altman Valandry found that 81% of traditional pay TV subscribers are watching sports and news regularly, whereas only 3% and 6% of cord cutters, and 3% of cord nevers and 6% of cord cutters say they're watching sports and news regularly. So pretty big, it seems like a pretty big dichotomy between if you're sports and news versus not.
I think so. And the funny thing is, Will, that this sort of points to a fact that I begun to notice that there really seems to be a bifurcation in the virtual MVPD market. There are sort of two types of virtual MVPD, those that go after the sports fan and those that don't. And the biggest ones are the ones that are going after the sports fans. You know, we're talking about people like YouTube TV and ATT TV Now, And of course, FuboTV, and FuboTV, which is really focused on sports. And to some extent, Sling TV. I mean, let's not forget, Sling TV was the first way you could get ESPN, regular ESPN television, outside of a cable subscription ever when it launched four or five years ago. So those services seem to be doing, you know, seem to have way more subscribers than the smaller services that don't include sports. And I'm talking about services like, well, there's this new one called Vidgo, which I guess we'll talk about in a little bit. But Philo. Philo is a great example, right? There's basically no sports, no news in Philo. It's all sort of basic cable channel fare there, and of course very, very cheap to boot. So it's pretty interesting. Sports really do seem to be a big draw to the virtual MVPDs, don't they?
Yeah, and the survey also included a lot of other, I thought, really interesting data. There's a lot of data about sports specifically and fandom and betting, but there's some specific data around how often people are watching sports online via online sources versus TV. And one thing that jumped out at me is question, how often do you watch news, sports, and other types of video online? When you look at the daily response to that, TV shows and movies, 30% of people are saying that they're watching on a daily basis, whereas sports is only 15%. Interestingly there, though, is that 35% of people are saying that they're watching news online. That's the number one category across all, whether it's sports, TV shows and movies, or other online video. News is number one, 35% people watching daily online.
Wow. Yeah, that's a big number. I can honestly say it's something I do almost not at all. So that's pretty surprising. The funny thing is, Will, that this idea that, remember when we first started talking about online viewership a lot, and one of the biggest drivers was sports. And every time we had a big event that was also carried online, that seemed to boost, you know, particularly usership of things like TV Everywhere services from the pay TV operators. And it was a big draw. And then that seemed to taper off. Well, it looks like the effect is still there. It's just now it's allowing people to cut the cord to their traditional pay TV operator and move over to virtual MVPDs. So I think that's a pretty interesting, sports is still tremendously influential, even though it's not watched on a daily basis as much. Bearing in mind, there are so many people that seem to really value their weekly game with their local team. It seems to be like a big driver, continuing to be a big driver of adoption of online services, even though it may not be helping TV Everywhere as much, right?
Yeah, and I think the other cut there is when you look at it by age groups as well. So another great question in the survey was, which device do you and other members of your household use to view live sports online? And TV is still number one across all age groups, 18 to 34, 35 to 54, 55 plus. But what's interesting is 18 to 34-year-olds, again, TV is still number one, but smartphone is right there at 40%. Even for 35 to 54-year-olds, smartphone comes in at 28%. It's only when you get to the 55-plus-year-olds that smartphones fall into third place after TV, second place is laptop or computer. So there again, we see that younger viewers are more comfortable watching on their smartphones than older viewers. And I think that's also been one of the things that the virtual MVPDs have really excelled at, is that cross-device access has been much more seamless and much more integrated into the overall experience than we've seen on the traditional pay TV side.
It has. I think you're right. I think that is a big strength of the virtual MVPDs. To be honest, I use my smartphone pretty regularly, particularly on weekends for the Premier League, I use it pretty regularly to watch games. You know, whether I'm sitting at the breakfast table and I just can't be bothered to get up and turn on the TV, or whether I'm standing in line at the grocery store and, you know, just flip it on to take a quick look at what's going on in a game I'm interested in. I do find that I'm using it a lot on mobile. So that's pretty interesting. But I got to tell you, Will, I think that this is both a good news story for virtual MVPDs and a bad news story. And the reason it's a bad news is we've talked about this in the past about how it is extremely difficult for virtual MVPDs to contain the costs of increases in the underlying content that they license from TV programmers. And in fact, we saw pretty big increases, $5 increases in the major services earlier this year, late last year. And I have a feeling that we're going to see these things continue to increase. And here's why. So I pulled some data from SNL Kagan to look at the increase in price of the sports rights. And Kagan estimated that back in 2012, the annual TV rights for NFL, Major League Baseball, basketball, NHL, and MLS were $5 billion. By 2018, it had more than doubled to $10.5 billion, and we're probably going to see another big increase in 2019. So what does that mean? Well, that means when a virtual MVPD comes to renegotiate the rights for the underlying channels that they're delivering, that if they are sports heavy, they are likely going to see big increases. And the funny thing is that just this week, Disney announced that it had re-upped with PSVU. And when I looked at the channels that are included in the deal that Disney signed with Sony and PlayStation View, oh my gosh, they have every flavor of ESPN you can think of, Will. It's like everything is there, including College Extra, Goal Line, Bases Loaded, Deportes, the lot. Plus, of course, a couple of others, other extras are thrown in, SEC Network, ACC Network, Longhorn Network. And PSVU also provides Fox Sports 1 and Fox Sports 2, which, of course, are not owned by Disney, continue to be owned by Fox, plus a bunch of regional sports networks and on. So there really are very sports-heavy package. And if you subscribe to their core package, it's like $55. If I'm a PSVU viewer, subscribe to core package, and I just noticed this Disney deal, what that means to you is I bet you've got a price increase coming, because there's no question in my mind that Disney boosted the price, particularly of ESPN, in those negotiations. And that's, I think, going to be a real problem for the virtual MVPDs that are really focused on sports, like, you know, Fubo TV, YouTube TV, etc. They're really going to have to, there's really no way they can hide that increase. So you're going to see every dollar of increase that they get in the underlying TV channels, they're going to pass right on to you, the viewer.
Well, they'll certainly try to. No question about that. And I think that sort of syncs with some of the other conclusions out of the survey that we're discussing here, that pay TV subscription levels tend to increase with higher levels of income. And sports viewership actually increases with more income as well. And sports being integral, of course, to the pay TV experience. And as you're pointing out, pay TV gets more and more expensive because of sports rights costs and sports carriage costs. Then it makes it increasingly a luxury product that only those with higher levels of income can, in fact, actually afford. So it seems like the virtual operators are, based on the data, starting to skim off maybe some of the more price-sensitive folks that are still sports viewers and want to be able to watch, but are looking to take advantage of a little bit of a price cut. But to your point, those lower prices may be pretty transitional.
Yeah, I think so. And to sort of emphasize the point, I don't know if our listeners noticed there was a new virtual MVPD launched this week called VidGo. And its base package is 49 channels, and it basically, it doesn't totally eschew sports. There are a couple of sports networks in there. They have beIN Sports and Pac-12, but there is no ESPN, there is no Fox Sports, no regional sports networks that I could see included in that base package. It's packed with things like Discovery, Nicktoons, Home and Garden TV, History, A&E, Hallmark, those types of channels. Costs a pretty reasonable $14.99 a month. So if you are not a sports fan, VidGo might be a good service for you to look at. Another one, of course, would be Philo, which is also, I think, in the $15 price range per month, both of which have no sports to speak of, and of course also don't have the local channels ABC, NBC, Fox, and CBS. But the thing that this really emphasizes to me is just the huge difference if you make the decision as a virtual MVPD provider to provide sports, because you know, if you look at the price difference, VidGo's $15 basically doesn't have any real sports, and PSVU core package is $55, probably going up because of increases from folks like Disney. That's a big difference, and a lot, I've got to say, I lay a lot of that price difference at the door of the underlying license fees for the sports that the programmers like Disney are having to pay.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And actually, one other point that I thought was interesting to raise out of the survey data was that the awareness level of some of these virtual MVPDs is actually pretty high. I mean, we know that subscribership is still relatively modest, but you look at YouTube TV, Hulu TV, Sling TV, all of them have more than 50% familiarity. ESPN Plus actually has 69% familiarity, although that could be a little bit, that could be biased by people thinking about ESPN itself, and certainly then when survey asks, are you subscribed to any of the following services, ESPN Plus had a 10% subscription rate, which is no doubt higher than actual, even YouTube TV 8%, Hulu Live 8%. So there's probably some confusion on the part of respondents between the underlying ESPN service and the underlying YouTube service versus ESPN and Plus and YouTube TV. But at the same time, the familiarity levels are pretty high. So that suggests that at least when it comes to, folks that may be thinking about cutting the cord, some of these other services where they can get sports either from a dedicated sports service like an ESPN Plus or from a skinny or a virtual MVPD, that there's familiarity out there already, and that should soften up, help accelerate subscriptions.
I think it will. I think that's absolutely true. And, you know, as I mentioned, Philo TV, looking at this data, it's like a very minor number, you know, only 1% said that they were actually subscribed to that service, and familiarity was not great either. Well, and I guess 16% isn't bad for familiarity for a niche service, I guess, like Philo TV. Makes you wonder how well VidGo is gonna do in a market that's really packed with lots of selection for sports loaded and non sports loaded virtual MVPDs. I think it's gonna be a tough row to hoe, don't you?
Yeah, I agree, and especially with the amount of entertainment content that's coming into the market via the new SVOD services that are going to start launching within the next month or so. Being a non-sports, not offering sports as part of your VMVPD seems like it's going to be a pretty tough slog.
Yeah, I think it is, and I think, you know, this just speaks to just how important live is becoming in services. Well, what I see is I see a lot of services launching now, and some sort of live component seems to be really, really important in a lot of them. You've got services like CBS All Access, which of course is primarily devoted to on demand, but still has a live component. You can watch your live local station, which I think is a big differentiator. And I think a lot of services that would ordinarily have launched with something like an on demand only on demand palette will probably now consider doing live, because I think particularly for things like news and sports, it's a big draw for consumers, as this data from Altman Velandry shows. Consumers, a lot of people are watching live news and live sports on a daily basis, and that could be a big draw, and this data certainly seems to support it, right?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I've liked the Hulu Live offering a lot from the start, because you get the full complement, the full range of live sports and other linear channels, but then you also get the really deep SVOD library. So I think of Hulu as being one that stands to benefit in this, you know, as we're discussing this data and as the world is starting to take shape.
Yeah, I think so. But even better than that, Will, is this bundle that Disney has announced with Hulu, base Hulu, Disney Plus, and with ESPN Plus. That, I think, is that's a real cool kind of bundle. If you were to slap in Hulu Live with that, boy, would you have a lot of great content to watch.
Yeah, well, they haven't done that yet, though. We'll see if they do.
We'll see if they do. But, I mean, I'm certain that, you know, you can add, you can... Well, that's a very interesting question, how you would go about adding live into that bundle, if what that does to the pricing. But we know it's not going to increase it much more than $35 or $40. So interesting to see how that works.
Okay, Colin, well, good reviewing all this data with you. It's pretty rich stuff. It's always great to consider how vital the role of sports and certainly news is as well in online video, and how it's affecting people's decisions. And I thought the Altman Velandry and Moffat Nathanson survey really did that nicely.
Yeah, it certainly does. And, it's that sort of loops back to our discussion from last week with the Roku data.
Excellent. Okay, Colin, good chatting with you as always. And thanks, everyone, for listening in on our podcast this week. And we will see you all again next week.